You're listening to the Parkside Christian Church podcast. Here at Parkside, our mission is to love God, love people, and help others do the same. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.
Morning. How are you doing, Parkside? I am a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I have been set free from the curse of sin and shame. And my name is Beth Jacobs. I am so grateful to be here with you guys in your series, Memorize This. Last week, you all talked about 1 Corinthians 10:13. And it's kind of a long verse to memorize, but one of my favorite parts of this verse comes at the end, where the scripture says, "He will provide us a way out." And one of my favorite things about our Savior is that he was not content to leave us to die in our sin. That for Christ, he would not sit in his throne of glory and not come back for his kids. I want to ask you guys a question. How many of you all have some of these things? Glasses. A minute ago you had faces and now you don't. So I have never been able to see anything at all without my glasses. It feels almost a little bit like I can hide and no one can see me back, but it's just not true. Because when I put them back on, there you are again. Have you ever been able to see, like, absolutely nothing? You've woke up in the middle of the night, it's dark, and it's almost as though you can't see. Because of the way that my eyes are damaged, I have astigmatism. I can't see anything without my glasses, without my correction. I don't interact with light just the way that I should. My eyes are bent, and when light enters them, I can't see very clearly. My father told this story when I was young. It was the middle of the night, and he lives on a farm in Indiana, and it's absolutely dark. There's no street lights, there's no lamps on, and he wakes up, and middle of the night, he's a kid, 6, 7 years old, he has to go to the bathroom. Have you guys ever been there? And you're not exactly sure where you're at. So he's tired, he's bumbling around, he can't find his glasses, and he finally gets to where he's going, and my grandfather's shoes would never be the same. Have you ever not been able to see where you're going? And you end up somewhere entirely different than you intended, and on your way, you make a mess of the things around you. I lost my glasses last week. I wrote this talk, and I took my glasses off, and I set them down. I let them be, and before I knew it, I was asking my teenager, "Have you seen my glasses?" And I spent a good 10 minutes walking around looking for them until I found them again. Guys, we can't see the truth of the things that are around us if lights aren't on. And we also can't see the truth of the way things are around us if we struggle to find our correction. If I don't let God turn the lights on in my life and live in the light, I'm not going to be able to see clearly. If I don't wear and stay close to my correction, my broken eyes are not going to interchange light the way that they should. Now, I was originally a science teacher. Maybe you've seen a chart like this one before, where they showed you in school that light comes into your eye, it hits your eye, and then it bends. And actually, the picture that ends up on the back of our corneas is flipped. Our brains do the work of flipping that image back around so that you all don't look like you're walking on the ceiling. And so because we live in a fallen world and we have bent eyes, especially mine, we're going to struggle to see things well sometimes. Maybe you're like me and you've had interference from your mind before and you have trouble seeing exactly what it is that's going on around you. I grew up with a few of the people in this room. I looked at them through most of the 90s in church, and if I close my eyes, I can still remember what they look like. And I think it's that way with our Father. When we stay close to God, when we look to Him, we start to get a clear, long vision of what He looks like, of who He is, of how He behaves and what He does. I have a song that I really love. And it goes, God, I look to You. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like You do. And I think that when we stay close to our God, we can catch that vision for what He wants for our lives and for the people around us. Would you guys pray with me? And we are going to dive into our scripture and have a look at it. God, our Father, you're the master and creator of all things. At the very sound of Your voice, the world came into being. At Your will and by Your way, everything is. And so, God, I thank You for making me. I thank You for making my brothers and sisters in this room. God, You know us best, and You have good plans for Your people. So as we look at our scripture today, I want to ask You to help us see clearly. Help us catch a vision for who You are as we follow You. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So our scripture today is 1 John 1:7. And it says, but if we walk in light, as He is in light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. We're going to break this into a couple of parts here. I like this verse because I'm a teacher, but before we get there, I want to talk about who John is. Now, in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, this John, people believe, is the same John who wrote the Gospel of John. So John's one of the guys who's following Jesus around all of Nazareth, all of Galilee, all of Judea. And he's writing a follow-up book. Maybe you guys have a friend like John. Maybe it's not your friend. Maybe it's your sibling. Maybe it's you. Let me show you the kind of guy that John is. In the Gospel of John, he's writing about going to find Jesus the day that he's risen up. And John says, they both ran together, and I got there first. And so, I don't know if you guys have this. John just, he's like the friend who kind of pokes fun at the people around him. And so you got to think that Peter is reading through the book that John wrote, and he's like, don't write it. Brother, don't write it. Don't do it. And he's just like, ha ha, nope, on your left. He passes him by, and he gets to Jesus first. In fact, John, who is writing to some unnamed churches in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, He's writing because he's trying to clear some things up. The point of the book of John, the Gospel of John, in that book, John is trying to get across to the people that Jesus is the guy. He's the incarnation of the Most High God. This is the guy that we've been waiting for. It's him, it's him, it's him. And over again, John points to Jesus as Savior. Later on, some of the churches are going to get that wrong and question and doubt whether or not it was really Christ in the person of Jesus. And so John, he gets something so amazingly right in the book of John. He refers to himself in this way. He calls himself the disciple who Jesus loved. He says it like 6 times. I'm the guy, Jesus loves me. He loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me. He says it that much. I wonder if he got a little old to the other disciples. They were like, hey, we get it, chill. But I read the book of John and I see a guy who just knew. He just knew how much God loved him. And so by the time he gets to 1 John, he wants to make sure that the church knows too. This is the guy. It's him. It's our Savior. Christ is it, Jesus. He's the one we've been waiting for. And so you might think that was a little confusing, but I want you to remember this. At that point, it's about 50 AD. Jesus has been gone for a while. And the churches don't have a Bible like you and I have. Do you guys know you can go and just buy one? It's all bound together. You can get in there and just read the whole thing. The Bible as we know it and pick it up off of a shelf didn't exist until about 325 AD when the Council of Nicaea said, let's put it together. It'll be easy for us to read it all in one spot. And so when 1 John comes along, 50 AD, the church is still trying to piece together, who is this guy? And what does he want us to do? Going to the verse itself. 1 John 1:7 is an if-then statement. You might have hated these in school, but you heard it from your parents. If you eat your vegetables, you will grow up big and strong. If you make that face, it's going to stick that way. If you do some push-ups every day, you won't have noodle arms. If. What are those ifs for you? If I lie and don't get caught, it'll be okay. It won't affect anybody. If I hide that secret that nobody knows about, it's not hurting anybody. If I do my best, maybe mom and dad won't be so sad or bored. Maybe they'll love me. If I do this, then that, we know that our actions have consequences. And so this verse says two things that come out of this if. And that is, if we walk in the light, the Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world. In him there is no darkness. And so if we walk with him, if we stay close to our Father, two things are going to happen. One, we're going to have fellowship with one another. If we're walking close to our God, if we're staying close to our God, we don't have to hide our stuff. The Bible says that we lose our shame. Two, the second thing that will happen is that we'll get purified. This verse says cleansed. We'll get clean. We'll get sober. We'll get healthy. And for me, the breakdown came when I came to Jesus, but I wasn't quite sure how to get from where I was to where I wanted to be. I know that for some of you, when you hear and talk about getting clean, that brings up like this instant feeling of shame. We talk about removing the things that that God wants to remove from our lives. You hear shame. What does it feel like for someone to even hint that you have something in you that needs to go? What do you do? Will you go on to the next slide for me, please? I want to talk about a word in the Greek, which is this word cleanse, this word purification. Forgive my pronunciation. Katharizo means to cleanse, to clean up. For some of you, when you first heard about Jesus, the thing that was taught to you alongside of his name was not his love and his grace and his mercy. It was instantly, well, now I got to get my act together. For me, I didn't know how to do that exactly. And so I had all of these things that were in my life that like stayed with me as baggage. One of the studies of this Greek word defines it like this. It says that we will remove all intermingling filth. Ouch. Do you like recoil at that? Like when somebody might even suggest that you have something in you that's like filthy? Do you shrink back and hide or want to run from that conversation? Or maybe you're a fighter. Maybe you're someone who if someone suggests even a little that you've done something wrong, that you fight back. I think that one of the things that I've seen in myself and in my own kids is that I made myself an expert in my own protection. I had strong, fortified walls put up that would keep me safe. Maybe you have some of those walls. Maybe you have used some of these before. Have you ever been angry, resentful, fearful, had cowardice, self-justification, self-importance, self-pity or condemnation? Have you ever been dishonest about what was really going on? Do you struggle with impatience or controlling the circumstances and the people around you? Is there anybody that you hate? What about false pride? Phoniness, putting up a facade, being in denial. Have you ever been envious of anybody else? What about a little bit lazy, procrastinating a little, insincere? Ever had any negative thinking or immoral thinking? Struggled with perfectionism or criticized just a little too much? You ever gossiped about anybody? Or been greedy? I look at this list and I think, well, these don't even seem like the big ones. There's so many things that we can classify as small or little sins, but like I look at this stuff and this is the stuff that tends to get me. Those little intermingled things that seem to be acceptable, and I just don't know what to do. with stuff like this. Because the first thing that I think is that, oh, gotta hide that stuff. Nobody wants to know. Nobody wants to see. And they don't really care if I struggle with things like gluttony. I mean, so what if I've got food issues? Everybody does. And we can be so tempted to look at our lives and the things that we struggle with and feel ashamed. So instead of surrendering every part of ourselves, we live in fear and we hide in the darkness. There's something funny that happens to us when we're willing to say what's really going on. For me, when I named those things that were my stuff, still my sin, I was able to go, okay, this is what it is. God, I can't do this alone. I need you. I need you. I need you. Because this stuff, even though some of it can be the things that we kind of get by with in society, in our communities, in our families, the stuff that maybe is not the big ones, it'll get you too. And keeping secrets keep us sick. And so when we bring out all of ourselves before our Father and say, Jesus, you can have it all. Take all of me. Because isn't that what Christ did for us? Did he come here for a while on earth on a little mission trip and do some nice things for the people? He came and died. He came and offered all of himself because he wanted you back. And he didn't just want part of you. There's a song that I like that says, Jesus, you can have it all. That he's worthy of all of ourselves because he knows what it is to lay down it all. Maybe you've maybe you're like me. I maybe have 3 or 5 friends. I don't know if you guys if you guys do this, but I think it's been a self-protective mechanism. But maybe you've shared stuff like this before, and you were looking for comfort. You were looking for acceptance. You were looking for somebody to go, yeah, me too, I get it. And instead of a place of belonging, you were met with the side eye. You were met with judgment. You were met with isolation. You were ashamed. And the person that you shared with helped. I want to apologize. It's not okay for anyone to misuse the light of Christ. It's not okay for me to do that. And I've been guilty before. However that happened to you, I'm sorry that someone did that. I can't fix it. I wish I could. I wish that in spaces and places where we confessed our sins to one another, looking for that fellowship, we found the comfort that should exist in spaces like this. So often, because we can't fix each other, we run and hide from each other because we don't know how to change it. So let's start here. This isn't an excuse for what was done to you, but sometimes it can help us to know how we got here. Do you guys see that blue stuff up there? That's mine. That's me. That's the sin I came from, the sin that comes for me. That's the way the enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy in my life. Those are the things that I have to surrender to my dad. The reason that you see those things up there and I'm able to say that out loud in a room is because that stuff doesn't really cause me shame anymore because I went, you can have it all, Jesus. And honestly, I have to do that all the time. Continue to surrender my list. So how do we get out of this stuff? How do we get unstuck? The first thing that we have to do in order to get unstuck is to identify where you are stuck. You do not know how to get from here to graders if you don't know where you are starting first. You don't know how to get from here down to the Reds game if you don't know that you're starting here. So we figure out where we're at by taking personal inventory of what is the stuff that comes for us. Guys, that's hard. It's so hard to take an honest look at who you are. It's so hard to look at where you came from all of your whole life and sort through which part is yours and which part is someone else's. Because we're so caught up in the hustle of trying to maintain our walls, of trying to keep people from seeing the stuff that keeps coming for us. I don't know about you guys, but I want nothing to do with sin still coming for me and trying to kill me. Instead, what I want is freedom. The scripture says that you are free. You are free indeed. Like, really, guys, you're really, really free. If you're not feeling it, there might be something that is still coming for you. There might be something that has you in shackles. And I don't say that for shame. I want you to feel bad. Certainly we do when we fail and fall short of the glory of God. But that's not the point. The point is this stuff that wears us down and holds us back is the very stuff that Christ came to handle. And if you know much about the Old Testament, you know that the Jewish people who were the chosen of God had to go into the temple every year, back again, back again, back again, keep sacrificing, keep spilling blood to atone for what we've got to do. How do we clean ourselves up? We can't clean ourselves up. The God of the universe, who is the only one who has the authority to purify and clean us, stepped out of heaven, came down himself in the form of his son, and said, I'm going to handle it. I'm going to handle it once. I'm going to handle it for all. You don't have to keep going back and spilling blood in the temple in order to be cleaned. Do you all know that the day that Jesus died, the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple tore in half? And it wasn't like a little curtain that y'all got from Pier 1. It was paramount to something that would cover an entire theater, a thickness that no human hands could tear. Y'all, we need God. We need the creator of the universe who, at the very sound of his voice, creation came to be. We need that guy to purify us and clean us from our sins. He's the only one who has the authority to tell you about who you are, about who you were, and about who he wants you to be. Don't you all know that the Bible says he has good plans for his people? He has good plans for his people, that you would walk in them. If you don't walk in his plans, you're going nowhere. So when the Bible says walk in light as he is in the light, he means walk with God, get next to him, get personal, the way that he walked with Adam and Eve in the garden before they screwed it up. He wants to walk with us again. So can I shoot you straight? Light, when it's properly distributed, it can grow a garden. Or it can burn an ant. If you've all ever seen a hand lens, a kid holding it up, concentrating sunlight to harm. Guys, fellowship implies that we love and that we have a shared experience together. We aren't meant to use the light of Christ to create more loneliness. I know I've been guilty of doing that before. I think that for some of us, and this was me, we like being in church not because we're actually following Jesus' way, but because we like the control. What about you? Are the rules better than the grace for you? Or are you able to hold in balance who Jesus is by saying, God, I want to be holy. Make me holy. Make me holy. I want to follow your way. And then offering grace to people who aren't where you are yet. If we're going to hold that balance, we've got to know what our Father looks like so well that when a situation comes up that needs to balance grace and holiness, that we can simply go, God, help me. And then we walk in wisdom with what to do with the way that we treat people. I've prayed this prayer many times. Lord, give me the words, but if I'm going to do more harm than good, shut me up. I have another favorite scripture that says, make it your business to lead a quiet life, minding your own business and working with your hands. I've stood in many situations where I've checked myself and said, God, is this my business? Because at the end of all eternity, I'm going to stand in front of him and take account for who I am. I'm not going to take account for my neighbor. I'm going to take account for what I did with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to take account for how I loved. And I've got news for you. You can't control other people. You can't make people do the things that you want them to do. But we can show people how much we love them. We can carry forward in our lives in kindness. We can create spaces where people can talk about their stuff without receiving shame. I was reading a journal that my father wrote in back in the year 2000, and he wrote this. Imagine what I will be for my family, my friends, my church, and my community if I let God's imagination get a hold of me. Church, it's my fervent prayer that we would catch a vision for who we could be as the people of God, that we would let him really get a hold of us, all of us, every part, that we wouldn't let intermingling filth hang out amongst ourselves, but that we would go and get healthy. How do we do that? First, own our part. Next, we've got to refine our fellowship. When somebody comes to you with something that's hard, do you know what to do in wisdom and love? Not to correct a behavior, not to get that person to act like you, look like you, do what you would do, but do you know how to go, there's one Savior, there's one God, he made you, he knows about you, he knows who you are becoming, he has good plans for you, he wants you well. I want to suggest that, like, I don't know about you, but for me, like, I was really bad at that. When I was younger, I was more like, okay, well, I know how to invite you to church and tell you how to behave. That's what I knew how to do. But as I grew older, I started to understand why some people wanted absolutely nothing to do with us. Because we have to walk in wisdom and love. We have to create space to establish a fellowship. If people don't know that you love them deeply, they do not care what you have to say to them about their behaviors or about their lives. So there's this need to establish relational authority. We have to teach people over time that they can trust us with their stuff. The third thing, and I wish this wasn't the third thing, I really wish that I would have put it first, is to allow God to cleanse us. It wasn't maybe until 2 years ago that I really humbled myself and said, you know what? God, you can also have all of my coping mechanisms. I'm willing to learn about myself and who I am and who you want me to be. So how can we stop coping with life and heal so that we can live? Whether it's counseling or an accountability partner or a recovery program or pastoral care, you might need some help to learn some things about who you are and who you've been so that you can move forward. I did. I was stuck on some stuff and I had to learn what to do next. Maybe like John, you just need to figure out how really, 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 really loved you are. You are loved. 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 Really? Maybe you need to learn how to believe it enough so that you get better at showing the people around you how loved they are. I love my kids. I used to yell. It's not okay. Because my behavior wasn't telling the truth about a God who is gentle and kind. He's not any less strong because he treats us with kindness. And I had to learn to believe that about me. Believe me when I say it, the people around you need to know how loved they are. Please, please don't wait to say it. Because we find ourselves then waiting, not being able to say it until we're reunited in heaven. In every way that matters, you should tell people that you love them. Make them see it. Surrounded by the light of God's love, we don't have to be alone. We can have fellowship. We don't have to keep secrets that make us sick. We can be cleansed. In the light, we're not alone. When we're alone, we're weak. So, church, I want to ask you if with me you'll quit hiding and learn to walk in the light as He is in the light. Would you come into a fellowship where we remember what our God looks like so well that we end up loving just like He does? We're going to enter into a time of communion. And I love this time because every week we pick up a piece of bread and a piece of juice that represent the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. The body that He offered to be broken so that our brokenness could be healed. The blood that He spilt as a payment for our sins so that we could be reunited with our Heavenly Father forever in heaven. So as we pray, I'm going to ask you to do two things. One, would you breathe deeply of the love of God and exactly what He did to get you back? And two, would you ask yourself, what is there in me that God wants to? Because He came to get me back, He wants all of me. What do I need to surrender to enter into a time in my life where I can be known more fully, loved more fully, and seen by God and those around me? Would you guys bow your heads with me? God, thank You for the sacrifice of Your Son, Jesus. There is no one perfect, no, not one. It's not me, it's not my husband, it's not my family, it's not my parents or my kids. We can't do this without You. And so the perfect sacrifice of Your Son has made us clean again. God, thank You. Thank You for sending Jesus. May we daily accept the sacrifice and the free gift of grace that He has given us. May we learn to walk in Your light so that we can stay close to You. God, draw up in us in the church a fellowship that tells the truth about who You are. And continue, God, to just clean us, purify us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can stay connected with us throughout the week by following Parkside on social media. To learn more, visit ParksideChristian.com.